The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, remember in this part of the Gospel of Luke, we're in the apocalyptic space. You know, we're in that kind of end of times feeling of the thing, and this is a continuation on from our reading yesterday, where we saw, you know, this kind of cataclysmic events, really implicating the vindication of the Son of Man, the vindication of Jesus, which means that, you know, his adversaries had to be defeated. We certainly know the historical events that the early Christians thought were implicated in these scriptures to be the 70 AD destruction of the temple and the destruction of the siege of Jerusalem, which really were horrific times to live through, if it was possible to live through them. I mean, really, really very difficult, challenging times. And yet, and Jesus, you know, in this part of the passage is leaning into that reality where we see, yeah, he is not himself on the scene, and his followers there are themselves suffering some of the same consequences that he faced in his day, in his mission, for bearing witness to the truth, for enacting God's agenda of wide-reaching grace, right, and grace and mercy for all, right, not just Israel, but that Israel was going to be a vehicle for the grace and mercy of God to the pagan nations, right, to the hated people all around them, right. So Jesus' followers are going to be picked out as people who subvert the national interest, right? They don't work in order to have Israel achieve the ambition that their leaders have, say, set them on course for. In fact, quite the opposite. They're seen as underminers, you know, they're because they're not going along with the agenda of the day. They're being seen as people who are not faithful to God and the covenant that he's made with Israel, because they dare to challenge the power that is leading Israel astray. So they're the ones, they are themselves accused of leading Israel astray, just as Jesus faces those same charges. And they will be persecuted as a result of that. Okay, we read this, I should say, they're persecuted as a result of that. Jesus is telling them, to some extent, yeah, don't worry about it. Right? Like, okay, so you're going to be betrayed by everyone you love most dearly. Okay, just don't worry about it. You know, I will be there. And we have any number of testimonies from the early church about the fact that Jesus was there giving his people the counsel, the wisdom that they needed to answer their adversaries, to persevere in love, even in the face of unimaginable difficulties. Yeah, so Jesus is there. They have to worry about him, right? They focus on him and not worry about the rest. And what's befalling them is really quite horrible. I mean, this is like some of the worst of the worst stuff. I don't know, you kind of look like you want me to read it again, so I will. is this persecution? Is it? Okay, no. You will even be handed over by parents, Okay, your parents are handing you over, your brothers, relatives, and friends, and they'll put some of you to death, so you'll pay the ultimate price at the hand of your parents. Do you know? And the people around you are supposed to love you most dearly. They're going to betray you, and you're going to die as a result of it. Yeah? You'll be hated by all because of my name. Not a hair on your head will be destroyed. He just said you're going to die, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you'll secure your lives, right? Because our lives in Christ, those are our lives, in fact. Yeah? So, and our faithfulness then is the ultimate measure of life and the abundant life that we've received in Christ, from Christ and in Christ that we live in Him, okay? Is a temptation for us to read this passage and go, yeah, do you know, like, I'm really being persecuted these days, you know? People really don't like me. And so it's like, okay, fine. It might be the case that people don't like you, okay? I'm not convinced that you're being persecuted, okay? It's a high challenge here to be hated for the sake of the name of Jesus, right? That's like a life goal, I think, for us, right? To be living the life of Jesus so well that we're hated as a result of that, right? Not as a result of our being detestable people. You know, like, I get enough heat because I'm a pretty detestable person. But no, because of the name of Jesus, I want to be hated. Yeah, this is a high bar, because it takes a lot to follow Jesus so closely that we refuse to go along with the agendas of the day, right? That our lives will be seen as, you know, at least relatively subversive to business as usual, and that we will be hated as a result of that. These are good goals for us. And I think too often, yeah, I'm reading this this long biography written by Eric Metaxas on the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Do you know? And he grows into opposition to the Nazi regime. And he's like trying to live his life faithfully to God and even considering, you know, should I take an appointment in America or do I have to return to Germany, where of course he's going to die, right? But what sense does it make for him? No, he has to live the life of Jesus. Yeah, and the kind of planning and positioning of how my life, you know, is going to bear good fruit and so on. And so it's like, no, it's really just faithfulness to Jesus. I mean, I wouldn't even know Dietrich Bonhoeffer if it weren't for the fact that he died in Germany, right? That he went back faithfully to face death with his brother and sister Christians, right? To encourage them and to keep them going and the rest. The church, the faithful church of Germany, was an enemy to the state. You know, is that the case in America? Should it be the case in America? I'm not entirely convinced, but I know that we the church and the people, the members of the body of Christ, ought not simply exist to rubber stamp the agenda of the state. And we look around us and see all manner of quote unquote bad things happening, and yet we offer really no resistance. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just too early. I don't know. It's too cold. It's too cold. It's too early. It's too whatever. But I don't know. Is it ever too cold to follow Jesus? I don't know. Okay. Is it? It is. Yeah. Just want me to sit down. Okay. Fine. I will. I'm just saying, okay, just like Jesus's first audience, right, for these tough teachings, so to us, just focus on Jesus. Yeah. And ask him, right, what it is you're supposed to be doing. Every moment of every day, sure, and every day, certainly, right? Give yourself over to the service of him, whole and entire, and don't worry about anything else. You don't have to worry about the consequences of your following him. No, you just have to follow him faithfully. Let the consequences be what they are. If we give ourselves, I mean, he is giving himself whole and entire to us. When we give ourselves whole and entire to him, we're receiving the entire benefit of his giving himself whole and entire to us. He's going to sustain us in everything we do when we live in faithful service to him. And he's going to see his good work through to the end. Yeah, he's going to make of it what he wills, which is why faithfulness is such a gift. It's such a gift to him. It's such a gift to us, because our lives start to take shape according to the plan and purpose of God, and then everything we do, you know, redounds not only to our benefit but to the benefit of God's creation, both now and forevermore.